Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. I was very shocked last night, but as someone pointed out to me on Twitter, well, happiness is mandatory. So here we are. First of all, I would like to congratulate everyone. Last night was the night, the first time ever, where all the cruise missiles that were sent to Kyiv were struck down. Last night was the one in many nights where actually no airstrikes happened. Those people survived, and those people still stand. We should be happy about that. Also, well, the rest of the front is mostly calcified. Igor Girkin is, like, complaining about the lack of fast defeats and whatever, but, hey. I believe that both of the armies are now recouping and focusing on gathering their strengths and trying to, you know, kind of regroup their forces. So this again gives us some more time to talk about some other stuff, because if something crazy will happen at the front, then I'll tell you. One thing though, which is important, I read on the Latvian media and on the Irish Times that United Nations has apparently banned the uses of the war and invasion when referring to this conflict. That is a lie. That is disinformation. And the Daily Mail reported this as well. Just saying. The Irish Times, I think it was Jauns.lv, and the Daily Mail. These people do not fact-check their news. This is disinformation and blatant lies with proof. So, you know, just saying. If you are subscribed to any of these newspapers, please let them know that yeah, I fact-checked, and they still use the term war and everything. The only thing that has changed is the fact that they kind of want to make it more clear and obvious to people. Yeah, they're on the Ukrainian side. So, you know, just so you wouldn't randomly think that the United Nations has done the most dumbest decision ever. This is their way of dividing us. This is their way of trying to make us all feel bad and divided again. I know, like, I feel probably to you, like, if you watch the series The Colony, yeah, I feel to you like the random broadcaster over there. But these things have to be taught. Also, a little bit of accounting before we get to this. Because, thank you, patrons, and thank you, supporters. I did a bit of a splurging. I spent about 150 euros on Battletech stuff, which is my hobby. I like little mechs, because we can't get this stuff in Latvia, and I had refunded this, so in total I spent about 50 euros of your money on buying me some hobby things. I hope you won't mind, because, well, I've spent so far about 2,500 euros on this trip, both helping refugees, getting my hotels, getting everything ready. So, yeah, that money on Battletech, I hope it doesn't hurt anyone. It's been quite expensive. And thank you for your support. I figured out that thing that they don't tell me is that I have a button of, if you listen to this on Acast, which is called supportacast.com, and I just today read all the letters there. And apparently people have supported the show there as well, which is amazing. And thank you guys. And they send me that stuff once per month, and wow. I had forgotten about this option even. The same as I had forgotten about YouTube, because apparently we are also on YouTube. We don't care about YouTube at all, because every episode we make out is demonetized, because we call things, you know, as they are. We call wars war, deaths deaths, and, well, you know, we speak about killing people and people being maimed and all that stuff that is not polite in today's society on YouTube. YouTube is a family-friendly place, except when little kids die, of course. But, you know, enough about that. That's my accounting. And that's all because of you. I just felt like today being the one day of the war when I literally followed today's news throughout all the day, and I couldn't find anything more important. I think that Ukrainians are regrouping, Russians are regrouping, and we will see major movements in the following days, and I will, of course, be covering them. Why? Because someone has to. Also, when this is over, I will be turning all of this into a book. Why? Not because I want to, but because I feel like there needs to be a complete chronicle of all of this. But what happened here was that Emilia site in Latvia got an anti-war demonstrators, Constantine's, apparently Constantine's, might as well be someone else's, letter from Moscow, where he literally explained how the Moscow police worked in the Manezhny Площadь and Manezh Field, I don't know, a stadium field or something, and what do the Russians do with the protesters and how they got tortured. If we can focus our attention on these things, then it's good, because like 16,000 people have arrived to help in the Ukrainian Foreign Legion, which is great. Scottish people too. They posted a video on Twitter, and they put bagpipes in the background. That was amazing. I loved it. But yeah, in total, about 10,000 people have been arrested in Moscow. In the latest protests that I have news about, which happened in Sunday, I'm pretty sure they happened in Monday as well, around 4,350 people were arrested. But, of course, these are the Russian official sources, and they're not truth-friendly. And as Konstantin writes to Yauns.lv in his letter, according to, like, just after the Russian attack happened to Ukraine, in a lot of places of Russia, a lot of protests are happening against the war. In Moscow, every day they're happening, starting at 7 p.m. That's 19:00 for my European friends. And basically from 3 p.m., 15:00, in holidays in the city center. Mostly they happen in Moscow in the Manezhsky Площadь. It's the menagerie? The place where horses run. Not hippodrome, but I don't know. Where do you run horses around to do stuff? In that square. That's basically near Kremlin and the Red Square. And previously, the security forces in those organized protests organized themselves according to various scenarios, and they understood, and you know, these scenarios were understood and realized by everyone. But now they have totally changed the tactics. And if you know these tactics, then you can evade arrests. And now we're turning into an educational protest thing, because if you are a Russian person who listens to this show, you might want to listen to the following very closely, even if you can listen to us, because your internet might be blocked. During the day, in the city center, there is practically no cops. Well, they're there, but they don't fall into your eyes, except a couple of tens of buses, which are just outside the exits of the metro stations, Teatralnaya and Ohotny Ryad. The Red Square is open, there's a skating field and attractions, and people work without any kind of restrictions. Approximately at about 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. in workdays, the cops start working. The cops are all aligned, and they await orders about how much work awaits them. After that, they start to pull out metal barriers to fully block the Manezhsky Square and the Red Square and the Theater Square. Then they announce that they're going to close the Red Square. People are getting evicted from it. At the beginning, next to the History Museum building in the Red Square, the specially trained police columns exit, which surround the square. And many buses with the cops and Avtozaki, which are portable prison stations, they arrive just next to the Manezhsky. On the both sides of Tversky, which is Tver Street, these portable prisons are being there and placed, and a lot of cops just arrive there on the scene. The cops arrive in large numbers. Basically, they work in civilian. They arrive by one, no more than two. Everyone's super politely dressed, and they stare at the people. Then they point out to the people in uniform who would be arrested. At the same time, in the exits of the metros, there are cops with megaphones who yell that to the Manezh Square, you can only go through Theater Square. At that point, to get there, you have to go through various control points where the arrests begin. Then, after that, on the Tversky, on kind of the pedestrian walks, a lot of people of cops start to walk, three or more, in civilian, and they start to stare at everyone around them. There are patrol cars in the sidewalks in the street next to it, and there is a lot of equipment for the arrested demonstrations. Talking about equipment, we're talking about riot shields and bats and everything, and pepper spray to control the protesters. One thing, though, is that, for one, Rosgvardia, the special internal security forces of Russia, the guys who beat up the protesters, basically, they were also sent into Ukraine, and they didn't expect to face any real fighting. They're like the SS squadrons, the people of the punishment battalions, who would just run in and beat up everyone and ensure control. Well, now, their vehicles got broken up, and turns out that, yes, indeed, Russia had brought an immense amount of equipment and everything into Ukraine to beat up the Ukrainian protesters. Well, what fun. Thankfully, they got stopped. But carrying on. And after this happens, a mass arrest of everyone happens. First of all, they arrest the groups of youngsters, various young people, who are walking around, more than five people. Everyone who stands on the street gets arrested. Then everyone with backpacks gets stopped and taken to these mobile prisons. Then they start to arrest those who don't stand in one space, but just walk around. Then they arrest everyone from the ages of 18 to 30. After a while, everyone who stands alone gets arrested. It doesn't matter their age. From 30 to basically being a retired person. And when there's like 25 to 30 people in this mobile prison, then everyone gets distributed to their police stations. Then the beatings begin. Spoke about the beatings and the torture last time. Right now we have more audio that states that these people are being called the enemies of the nation, the protesters, peaceful protesters. Which also reminds me the fact that there's a lot of people who just want to blame NATO for everything, you know. And I have to remind you that, yes, NATO has done a bunch of bad things, but when George Bush decided to invade Iraq in 2003, then there were protests. There were anti-war protests everywhere. Do you know what happened to these protesters? Nothing. They were there. They weren't beaten up. They weren't taken to mobile prisons. Their heads weren't smashed in. Their legs weren't broken. They weren't forced to sit on a bottle, which literally means there's an empty bottle of wine, and then you're forced, I'm sorry for this, turn off this because I'm describing torture now, put the bottle inside your anus and then sit on it as it slowly expands and causes massive pain and internal bleeding. It wasn't there. Yeah. Oh boy, the advertiser is going to love this episode. But whatever, you blame NATO. Remember that you could protest against this war and you weren't arrested. And that, everyone who just defends Putin blindly, they're fools. Sure, NATO are not the good guys always, of course not. But if you try to shift the blame, if you're going into a massive whataboutism, then please unsubscribe. This is not the time for this. We are where we are. We need to solve the problem now. And we're talking about anti-war protesters being arrested and beaten, and they can't protest in their country. We're talking about people in Ukraine being bombed and shelled. And in the end, if you're so into this whole let's blame the West, then blame me too personally. Because I am happy and proud to be a part of the Western society. I am proud of my listeners, and I'm proud of what I'm doing here. And if you think that Latvia does not deserve to exist, then I don't want to see you on my Twitter feed. I don't want to see you listening to this podcast. This show is not for you. This show is for people with conscience and common sense. До свидания, товарищи. And remember, happiness is mandatory. And once again, please, if you can, support the show. We are on PayPal, or just click the donate button on our webpage, and or apparently somewhere on Acast, or become our patron at patreon.com the Eastern Border. I'm tired of saying this. Yeah, working hard. Let's hope everything in the world turns out for the better.